and then you'll remember the futility of this material existence. And everything is going to get finished anyway, so might as well focus our energies on spiritual development. And as far as material development is concerned, we put in our honest endeavor, and whatever comes by way of destiny, it will come. So the genuine spiritualist is content with reasonable, honest endeavor for the maintenance of the body. The spiritualist doesn't excessively strive for material achievements, goods, enjoyment, and so on, knowing that this is not the goal of life. So when Srila Prabhupada asks us to be always mindful of the fact that death will come, what he's cautioning us is that we should be thinking carefully about the way we live. That our way of life, our lifestyle, our purpose of living shouldn't be simply within this world. Different people, of course, have different approaches to death. Some people have what we can call the ostrich approach. The ostrich approach is to just not think about it. You know the famous act of the ostrich, I think. In Australia, you have many ostriches, right? You do? That's a kiwi. What's the famous bird here? Kangaroo. Emu. Emu, okay. Anyway, so the ostrich is famous for putting its head in the ground, in the sand, when confronted with a danger. If there's an animal attacking or something, the ostrich thinks, if I just put my head in the sand, I won't see the danger coming, so I'm okay. That's called the ostrich approach. So we think death is coming, but no, I'm close my eyes. No, it's not coming. I forget about it. I forget. There's nothing like death. And I go about my other activities as if there's no death. And indeed, if it wasn't for that, nobody would be able to try to enjoy this world. So some people like to just keep it out of their minds. They don't even want to consider such a possibility. They're fearful. For them it's depressing. And they try to push it away from the mind as much as they can. But that's escapism. Then there's another category of people who say, no, no, we're not escapists. We're not worried about death. We don't mind facing death. And they're disciples of an atheistic philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka's philosophy was, Ranam kritva kritam pibet yavat jivet sukham jivet. Beg, borrow or steal, but enjoy life. Somehow or the other, have a lot of worldly enjoyment. Eat, drink and be merry. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kim punaragamana bhavet. At death, this body is going to turn to ashes and dust. Who's seen the next life? Some people say there's a soul, there's afterlife. Who has seen that? So why do you worry about these things? Because generally, a person who's aware of the law of karma, about transmigration of the soul, would always think about the consequences of the karma that he or she performs. So a genuinely intelligent person will be mindful of the actions that are performed. But a Charvaka follower would say, well, it doesn't matter, just strive for enjoyment. Eat, drink and be merry. As far as karma in the next life, who has seen it? Nobody knows that there's such a thing. So therefore they say, just enjoy. So they also say, we don't worry about death, but they lose out the very essence of their life. They don't know why they're living. Their life begins with birth and ends with death. It's a meaningless existence. Life has no purpose for them. Life somehow by chance has happened. They think of life as a combination of chemicals and atoms and molecules. And life has somehow started. And now one day it will end. Just like any instrument, one day it has a beginning, it's created, then it's an expiry period and you dispose it of. But life is not just a meaningless clutch of atoms and molecules and chemicals. There is more to life than that. So gradually one has to come to the point to understand that life has a spiritual purpose. There is something more than just enjoyment of this world. So a genuine spiritualist who wants to face death in the proper way has to at least think of two things. One, such a spiritualist must understand the inevitability of the destruction of the body. Keep that in mind. But if you keep only that in mind, you'll get depressed. So you have to keep the positive side in mind of the eternality of the soul. But the soul is eternal. The body goes, but I don't die. I am alive. I am forever, eternally alive and conscious. And especially if we are devotees of Krishna, then death for us is simply an entrance into eternal life. Srila Prabhupada used to give the analogy of the cat and the kitten on one hand, and the monkey and the mother monkey and the baby monkey on the other hand. This is called Marjana Nyaya and Markata Nyaya. Marjara in Sanskrit means a cat. Nyaya means a logic. If you've seen a cat carrying its kitten, the cat will hold the kitten by the scruff of its neck in its jaws and carry the kitten from one place to another place. So the kitten doesn't have to do anything. The kitten simply just is just there with them, just surrenders to the mother. And the mother does everything, picks the kitten up, takes it to another place and another place. And those are the monkey, the baby monkey, clings on to the mother. So that's the effort of the aspiring devotee. So both represent different approaches towards surrender to Krishna. But either way, they are being protected by Krishna. But if you consider a rat in the mouth of a cat, the perspectives and the vision of the jaws of the cat vastly differ. The kitten looks at the jaws of the cat as shelter personified, as protection, as love. And the rat sees those jaws as death personified, as pain, as fear. So the jaws are the same, the cat is the same, but the kitten and the rat, they see the jaws differently. So similarly, materialistic people who have no spiritual conception would look at death in one way, and devotees of the Lord who are blissful in any condition, before death, after death, at death, they look at death in another perspective. They will see death as the entrance into eternal life in the kingdom of God. It's an entrance into Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. So therefore, for us, we are not afraid of death. We are simply saying, yes, let us learn how to depart from this world in a good way, in the best possible way. Let's make our departure glorious. We have to go, so let's do it well. Some people have a glorious departure from a material point of view. In every country, there are heroes, martyrs, who sacrifice their life for a cause. Maybe the country, they fought a war on behalf of the country or something. So every country has its share of martyrs and heroes who have laid down their life for helping others or for the country, defense of the country, and so on. So however noble that may be from the point of view of the people in that country, the fact is it's still not a completely spiritual thing, because the person still has to take birth again. The person still gets another material body, and the person will still die again. So birth and death will continue. It will not stop. However, if we become pure devotees of Krishna and we leave this world thinking of Krishna, then we will be happy and blissful as we leave. without a care in this world, without attachment to this world, we will not be fearful, we will not be grief-stricken, because we have no attachments in this world. To the degree we are attached to the material things of this world, to that extent death is more painful. And the moment of death is our test. And usually it is the accumulation of what we have done throughout our life that will determine the state of consciousness at death. Sometimes people say, well, you say that we should think of God at the time of death, so let me eat, drink and be merry, and just in the time of death I'll think of God and go back to Godhead. That's because people always want to find a loophole. That's the nature of this material. If the signal is something, you're looking for some way to beat the signal, to beat the traffic, to beat the law. It's the nature of the mind to look for ways out. So similarly, we're thinking of cheating the laws of nature. Let me just do whatever I want, and just at the very last moment I'll think of Krishna. Because after all, Krishna says, antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita he says, antakale, at the final moment, cha mam eva smaran, whoever remembers me, Krishna says, muktva kalevaram, when he gives up his body, yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha, he will definitely attain to my abode. Know this free of any doubt, O Arjuna. In other words, a person who thinks of Krishna at the time of death will die a glorious death, will be able to attain to Krishna's abode, and then will attain eternal life, a life of bliss and freedom, eternality. So then if somebody says, well, all my life I just eat, drink and be merry, and just at the time of death I'll think of Krishna and have a glorious death. Okay, so what do you say to this person? How would you respond? Let's say your friend came and told you this, and you're trying to speak something about Krishna consciousness, and then this person responds like this. How would you reply? Yes, you only remember at death what you've done throughout your life. Let's come back to the example of a student and the exam. I know of several students and heard of them through other some students who don't know the exam, the topic of the exam, subject of the exam the next day. If tomorrow's exam, to go at 10 o'clock at night asking, what's the paper tomorrow? Right? And then they'll stay up all night and, you know, get notes from this one and ask this one, try selective questions that you could probably have to pass. And then one student was telling me that he had a fellow student in the hostel who used to do this, and he would have coffee and tea and everything to keep himself awake all night. And then he started taking a tablet to keep himself awake. Unfortunately, he took the wrong tablet that puts you to sleep. So he ended up sleeping all through the exam. So it's a very risky thing. So imagine if there's a student who doesn't prepare all year, doesn't attend the classes, doesn't study the books, and just at the very last minute says, let me open the book and study. Is that the student going to get good marks? Is he going to be able to pass? Not likely. Similarly, if all our life we don't practice Krishna consciousness, we don't practice remembering Krishna, how is it possible that we can remember him with devotion at death? If we think we can cheat Krishna, but Krishna is just among cheats, I am gambling. Krishna is the greatest cheat. He can cheat us so quickly at the moment of death, we twist our consciousness and our mind will be diverted from him, even if we want to. And of course, the second argument we can give to such a person is that we don't know when death will come. We may have our good plan that, well, I'll get a good notice for death and then I'll start preparing at the last moment, but death can come without notice. So therefore it is better to prepare for death in advance by living a Krishna conscious life, and then at the time of death it will be natural for us to think of Krishna. Even if somebody is very pious, but if that person has some material attachments, those material attachments will come up. One devotee was telling a little funny story, it's a real story. He says he went to a certain village in Nepal, and there was this elderly man who was about to leave his body, he was about to die. And the family members had all gathered around him. He was some kind of a businessman and he had a large family over which he presided. And they had property, land and so on. And he was there in his last moments, and the family members had gathered, and he looked at all of them and they were waiting expectantly to hear something from him. And he was making some serious effort to rise a little bit and gather the energy to speak some last words. So all the family members were expecting some pearls of wisdom to come. Something very profound would come from his drop of his lips, and he would give some parting instruction that would be something they would cherish all their life or something like that. So he looked up and he seemed a little irritated. And then he looked at the corner of the room and he pointed there and said in an irritated tone, "Just see, the cow is eating the broom there and you people are not doing anything about it." And he died. Meaning that he was trying to say that, how are you people going to look after the estate after I leave? You're not even looking and caring for such things. Just see how this cow is coming and eating away things here, and you're just so inattentive to all these things. What will happen after I go? So his consciousness was so absorbed in his business affairs and his family affairs that there was no way he could think of anything spiritual. So his mind was absorbed in that broom, and he was thinking of how there was a loss of a certain amount of money because the broom was spoiled, and they would have to spend more money to buy another broom. And the mind can sometimes deceive, even for pious people. The same devotee was telling me of another incident where a pious lady was about to leave the world. She was elderly. She was a vegetarian strictly throughout her life because of her religious beliefs. But she cooked because some of her family members wanted. And maybe she had eaten in childhood, I don't know exactly. So when she was asked, she was about to die, and they asked her, "What's your last wish?" She said, "I want to eat meat." Of all things that she could ever ask for and think about, this was the thing she asked, her last wish. "I want to eat meat." So death, we cannot try to cheat nature. Unless we are thoroughly 100% Krishna conscious throughout our life and we prepare for it for as long as we can, from as early as possible, it will not be possible for us to be Krishna conscious at death. And if we are not Krishna conscious at death, we'll be conscious of something else. It's either Krishna or something else. And if it's something else, then we have to be born again in this world. And what we will be in the next life, where we will be born, in what circumstances, that will depend on the kind of karma we have performed in this life. So therefore the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, "Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajatyante karevaram tam tam eva iti kaunteya sadatta bhava bhavitaha." Whatever one's state of consciousness at the time of death, O Arjuna, that state one will attain in the next birth. So if one has led a very animalistic existence, a very hedonistic life, then one will get an appropriate birth like that. One will not get a divine birth. One will not be able to go back to Krishna. One will be forced to come back to the cycle of birth and death. So depending on whether we perform good karma, bad karma, we will get a good destination or a bad destination. We'll get a situation of relative happiness or a situation of relative misery. But we'll still be born in this world of misery. There's another famous, or not famous, but another incident that comes to mind which I relate very often. And this is about an elderly lady again who was about to die. And she was in a hospital. And the doctor who was attending to her was a devotee. And so he realized that she had only a few minutes left to live. So he told the relatives that, "I'm sorry, it's only a few minutes more now." And so he went up to her. He took permission from the family, "Do you mind if I ask her to chant Hare Krishna?" So they said, "No, we have no problem." They weren't believers, so they weren't very particular about it. So, "Okay, we have no problem, you can go inside." So he went to the lady. She was conscious, but she was very weak. She was hardly able to speak anything. She was opening her eyes. Whatever was being spoken was registering in her mind. She was able to understand, but she wasn't able to gather the energy to speak. So then he told her, she was a little hard of hearing also. So he told her, "Chant Hare Krishna," in the local language he told her, "Chant Hare Krishna." She gave a blank stare. So he chanted a little louder, thinking maybe she's hard of hearing, so he should speak it a little louder. So he said, "Chant Hare Krishna." So no response, blank. Again, "Chant Hare Krishna." Then he went into her ears and he spoke loudly, "Chant Hare Krishna," because he knew she had only minutes, moments left to live. So he was feeling, at least if she dies, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Krishna's name, there would be some benefit for her. In the next life she may become a devotee. So after he had done that several times, then this lady became very irritated. Her brow became furrowed. And then she gathered a lot of energy. And with that energy, even though she wasn't able to speak, but she vigorously shook her head one time. "No." No, what she meant was, "I will not chant Hare Krishna." And then she died. Of course, she had heard the Hare Krishna, at least she heard Hare Krishna a couple of times from this devotee, doctor. So at least that was good. But she refused. She said, "No." It took a lot of energy for her to shake her head like that, so strongly. And the same energy she could easily have used to say Hare Krishna. It wouldn't have cost her anything. But she was just adamant that she wouldn't chant Hare Krishna at death. Srila Prabhupada used to give that little anecdote about two people who were very stubborn. And they had arguments with each other. You know how it is when you deal with somebody who's very stubborn? So best thing is to put that stubborn person with another stubborn person. And let them work out amongst themselves. So the two people who were very stubborn, and they were talking about something. One was saying, "No, the solution is the scissor." And the other was saying, "No, the solution is the knife." So they were arguing about it, and no one was willing to let go. Finally, the person who was saying knife, he picked up the other person in a fit of anger and threw him into the river nearby. And as providence would have it, the person who was thrown in the river didn't know swimming. So he was drowning. But as he was drowning, he wanted to give a parting repartee, a parting response to that person. As he was drowning, he was going down, but he was doing this. Meaning that there was scissor, scissor, scissor is right, scissor is right. So I may die, but still the scissor will prevail. So it's like that. So if people are stubbornly refusing to take Krishna's name at the time of death, what can we do? But still the devotees are so compassionate and kind. They go up to these people and they chant Hare Krishna to them and induce them to somehow or the other remember Krishna or chant Krishna's names. So therefore, the idea of us remembering Krishna at death is not such an easy or a cheap thing. It has to be cultivated assiduously, lifelong, very carefully, sincerely. Then one will be able to remember Krishna at death. Then we will have a glorious departure. Then it doesn't matter where we live, or what we are doing, the gender, the community, nationality, all these things will not matter. The only important thing that Krishna sees is, are we remembering Him with devotion or not? If we are, then we will attain perfection. If not, then we have to come back again and again. And this will happen till such time as we are able to remember Krishna perfectly. So this is what the goal of life is. The goal of life is to have a glorious departure. The goal of life is to learn how to die. And the great devotees of the Lord have given their best lessons in the form of their death. So the last lesson is usually their best lesson. Because in their death, by their very examples, they teach us how we should die and how we should prepare. So if we want to die like them, then we should also live like them, in the sense that we should follow in their footsteps. Gain inspiration from their teachings and their life. And then we will also, hopefully by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, be able to have a perfect passing away from this world. Death is actually a very painful experience. The scriptures give various descriptions of how painful it is. But nevertheless, if one's mind is absorbed in Krishna, then despite the pain, one has trained one's mind to think of Krishna, then Krishna will be very merciful and He will allow us to remember Him despite the physical pain. And as we continue like this, in preparation for that ultimate moment, then Krishna will ensure that we attain perfection. Sometimes there is a question that is asked. Alright, we've been doing Krishna consciousness all our life, and we're preparing for death, and we're reasonably hopeful that because we practice Krishna consciousness very sincerely throughout our life, when death comes, then we'll be able to think of Krishna. But if death comes all of a sudden when we're not expecting it, and we don't have time to actually try to think of Krishna, or if death comes in when we are sleeping, that's very common, isn't it? Many people die in their sleep. So what would happen? Would all my remembrance of Krishna go in vain? Then does it mean that I will not be able to have a glorious departure from this world? If a pure devotee dies in his or her sleep, will that devotee go back to Godhead, go back to Krishna's abode or not? What do you think?
Yes.
Good. Everyone is certain, but why?
Because if we don't remember Krishna, Krishna will remember
us. Okay, that's a very nice point. Even if we are in our sleep and we are not able to remember Krishna, Krishna will remember us and take us back. So why will Krishna remember us? What induces Krishna to remember us?
Because we've remembered him.
When?
Throughout
our life. Or as many years as possible. Or as much as we could. From the time we were exposed to Krishna consciousness, we tried